Does everybody have a bulletin? We're going to begin with opening worship music, and you'll have this on the back of your bulletin. It's Send a Light. Well, welcome everyone. So glad that you've come out on this. I'm calling it a beautiful rainy Sunday morning. So I hope that's not an oxymoron, but it is a beautiful day. And just thankful to be here, to be able to come together and just to worship. And so I hope that you enjoy your day here. Why don't we, I was going to say, you look too comfortable to stand. I'm not going to do that. Why don't you just turn to the back, though, of your bulletin there. And myself and Brent are going to lead you here. In this Send the Light. Hope you brought your singing voice. Okay. There's a call come ringing over restless waves. Send the line, send the line. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the line, send the line. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine. That's the bluegrass version of Send the Light. It's a little more pep to it, isn't it? Why don't we just begin with a word of prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day that you've made, Lord, this opportunity to come to this place to worship you. Lord, I thank you for those that are gathered. Lord, we pray for those that can't be with us. Lord, just pray that your Spirit will be upon us here in this time together. Lord, that we're able to worship you, just to sing up your praises. Lord, there's just a blessing to be here and to be able to worship you in this place. Father, just pray you bless us each in this time together in the fellowship. And Lord, I pray you just grow as closer together as a church in this time, Lord, for your service and for your glory. Lord, just bless us, I pray. In Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Okay, a couple announcements I want to share as we begin here. First of all, if you open your bulletin, you'll see I just put a couple announcements in there kind of at the bottom. And one reminder here is that because next Sunday we're having our Holy Communion service, and there we're having our Blessing Forward service as well, that there will be no children's church next Sunday. So just a heads up on that. I know that that's a bummer to the kids, but there'll just be too much going on through the service, and just feel like it'd probably be simpler to have no children's church. Also, it's a pretty historic moment again in the life of the church, as that will be the final step in our process of separation from Church of the Brethren. And so John Jancy from the Shenandoah District Church of the Brethren will be there to sign over those documents to release the property and the assets to the Church of Moscow. So we really look forward to that service and hope that you will come and participate in that, be a part of that historic moment in the life of the church. Also, just a reminder that we're going to begin Bible study on Sunday, September 11th. One thing I'll add is, and I need to catch up with a couple of you who have already said that you want to participate. Someone had shared with me that it might be beneficial to move it up a little earlier in the day. I had said 6:30 to 7:30. I know that's difficult for some people to drive a little bit later at night, and the thought was maybe 4:30 to 5:30. So if you've agreed to come, would you just share with me after the service if that would be okay to make that adjustment? And I think that would work good for a lot of people. So just see me following the service. I've already started to order some of the booklets. Again, if you would like to participate, please just let me know so that I make sure that I have enough study guides for everyone ahead of time. And I'll be printing the scripture in the bulletin, so people, you'll know to read ahead and come prepared each afternoon for the lesson. Also, August 30th, we are going to have a leadership team meeting there at the church, so if you're on that team, be aware of that as well. Are there any other announcements that you'd like to share? Anything else? Can everyone hear me? Okay, good. Everybody, even in the back, they're saying yes. My wife always said I had a big mouth. So maybe it's paying off in these moments. If you are a guest here, we just want to welcome you to our Moscow worship service. We hope that you will join us when we're at the church as well, but we certainly welcome you today and appreciate you being here and hope that you just enjoy the worship and fellowship here today. Okay, let's open with our another hymn, really. Our opening hymn, Here I Am, Lord. I want to just thank Brent Cook for helping me with the music. I hooked him into helping me with this, and I really appreciate his help. So, thank you, Brent. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is a familiar one to you. This is in the insert inside your bulletin. This one moves pretty quick. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people's cry. All who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I have made the stars at night, I will make their darkness bright. All who bear my light to them, who shall ascend? Here I am, Lord, Chapter 10. You'll find this in the inside of your bulletin. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him?
And how shall they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him?
And how shall they hear about Him unless someone tells them?
And how would anyone go to tell them without being sent?
That is why the scriptures say,
"How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things."
Isaiah 52:7. I want to take just a couple minutes now to gather up any of our prayer requests or praises that we'd like to share. A couple I'll share with you. If you would, would you put Ronnie Radbush on your prayer list? Ronnie, like so many today, has been diagnosed with COVID, and he's just getting over that. So if you would, just be in prayer for Ronnie. I think he said he got sick on Friday, and he's still not feeling well. So just lift up Ronnie Radbush in your prayers. I asked him if Katie was sick, and he said no, thank God. So we just pray that she doesn't catch it and that he gets well soon. Also, I talked to Dick and Carolyn Yates, and both of them have COVID, unfortunately. So if you would, just be in prayer for Dick and Carolyn. And of course, they said they just hate they're going to miss the picnic, but we're just trying to get better. So please keep Dick and Carolyn Yates in your prayers. I think there's just so many right now that have gotten sick or had COVID. I know our family about 2 weeks ago, we're dealing with it 3 weeks ago. So just a lot of sickness right now, especially with the COVID passing around. Just continue to remember those that are fighting off that virus. If you would, continue to pray for Gene Armstrong. I was able to text with Jean a little bit this past week, and Jean just said she's not really doing that well. Others have shared with me also that Jean is just really struggling right now. They changed her treatments, and she's getting another type of treatment. I think it's really exhausting her. It's making her sick in other ways, and her energy down. I think her spirits are down some. So maybe you can think about it this week. Send Jean a card. I know she really appreciates that. That's a big pick-me-up. If you hadn't been able to do that, her address, of course, is in the directory. And if you don't have one of those, you can always call me. I can get it for you. But we just want to continue to pray for Jean. You know, she hadn't been with us now for, what, a year and a half or so?
No, since Christmas. Because she did the Christmas
day. That's right. So we certainly think about her and pray for her. I know she wants to be with us, and she is just at a place where she's not able to do that. So just lift her up in your prayers this coming week. Pray for God's strength upon Jean, that He would just help her through and just hold her hand in this time. So that's our prayer for Jean, for sure. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share? Yes, absolutely. Continue to pray for that work there, the disaster work in Eastern Kentucky. And we are thankful for all those that are traveling and continuing to travel. I know we supported a group here just a couple weeks ago that financially that went there. And so we just do whatever we can. And certainly we just lift them up in prayer. So thank you for reminding us of that.
Randy and Susan.
Yeah, that's right. Randy, appreciate the reminder of that. Randy was admitted to the hospital last week on kind of Sunday evening or Sunday afternoon, and he was there till Wednesday. They thought at first maybe that Randy had like a little mini stroke. They're not exactly sure that that's the case, but Randy's just dealing with a lot of dizziness and just doesn't feel sure on his feet. So if you would, just lift up Randy Johnson, be in prayer for him. And he's going to continue to get some testing to try to figure out exactly what's going on. And pray for Susie, too. I know she's been home and helping him. So just Randy Johnson as well as Susie.
Bill Simmons came down with COVID.
Okay, Bill Simmons as well as another name that we'll be praying for COVID.
And I'll get back to you.
Okay, that name. Billy, you don't have to be old to have that happen. It happens to me, too.
Levi Knott's going through much the same thing that Randy's going through. They were both in the hospital at the same time.
Okay, Levi Knott.
Yeah,
just the dizziness there.
Yeah. Well, and he passed out. We didn't know who he was or what he was.
Yeah.
But they diagnosed us that they really don't know.
If you would, you didn't hear that name, Levi Knott, would you be in prayer for him? He's getting different types of procedures well to figure out what's causing dizziness. So, thank you, Pauline. Anyone else?
My niece, Sherry. She needs a lot of prayer.
Continue to pray for Sherry, Janet's niece. And she's been diagnosed with cancer and is getting treatment for that. So, we just continue to pray for her. Cindy?
Greg and Joshua Talbot are traveling tonight to Massachusetts for a job that he has to do tomorrow, and travel safety.
Greg and Joshua Talbot for a safe traveling safety. Sir. Anyone else?
I got a praise.
Okay, Jennifer.
After 10 years of trying to get where my son wants to be, he's finally became a nationally certified ENT.
Well, isn't that something? Well, that is wonderful. We just
he's 25. He's been doing this since he was 15. So.
Yep. All the hard work paid off. So praise the Lord for that. Celebration there. Thank you, Jennifer, for sharing that.
I just want to thank the Lord for this beautiful day.
Yeah. This is a beautiful rainy day, isn't it, Nan?
It Pauline? Is, and it looks like the sun is trying to come out. I thought, why didn't it cancel? I kept thinking. And I even called Debbie, and I said, have they canceled yet? They said, no, Darren's got it on. I said, okay, Lord, we'll go in the rain.
But yeah, probably a lot of people were coming here thinking, why didn't Darren cancel this? Why didn't Darren cancel this? But I prayed for good weather, and look, the sun is starting to shine, so Lord is blessing us. Of course, the day's not over yet, so we just pray that it continues to be like this. Anyone else? I think we're just going to have a bucket placed at the back for our tithes and offerings. I think that'll be easiest because we're not kind of, it's difficult. We're kind of crowded in here. So you can put your tithes and your offerings in a bucket there at the back. Where would that tape? Okay. Bruce is sharing that. Big blue bucket there at the back. We're going to fill that whole bucket up today. It's a 5-gallon bucket. So we've got plenty of bucket there. Thank you, Bruce. We've set that on the table back there, and you can see that following the service. But maybe we'll just... We actually had an instrumental song for that, huh?
So Billy, Patty Reeves.
Billy followed the prayer request. Patty Reeves.
Betty.
Betty Reeves. Okay.
She's got kidney stones.
Okay. If you didn't hear that, please be in prayer for Betty Reeves as well. Maybe we will just, we'll just have a word of prayer. We'll skip that song. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, again.
I don't think the Lord liked that song.
Maybe we better play that song. Alan, was that a sign that you wanted to lead the prayer since it was your vehicle? That's a new rule going forward. Who's ever a car alarm goes off has to lead the prayer.
Play the song.
You want us to play the song?
I should play the song.
We don't get to play our music a whole lot anyway, so we'll play it. It's just an instrumental. This is just an old song that maybe you'll recognize. It's, again, we're not going to sing, it's just instrumental, but it's using my Bible as a roadmap. Yeah, but we might as well do that. Well, we can do that after prayer. So much for this glorious day. We appreciate, Lord, that you're blessing us with this sunshine. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to come and to just enjoy this fellowship and picnic together. Lord, just pray that you continue to bless us in this time of worship. Lord, we pray for those names listed this morning, those that are fighting off COVID and different viruses. Lord, those that wanted to be with us here this morning, but Father, they're fighting big battles. And Lord, we just pray that you be with each one of them. Lord, that you give them strength as they need strength. And Lord, that you put your faith within them. That Lord, as they look to you, that you will give them the strength they need to overcome whatever it is that they are dealing with. Lord, just pray for our offering as well. Lord, thank you for the big things that are going on at Moscow. Lord, we know that you continue to provide for this church, Lord, your church. And Father, you have great things in store for us as we trust in you and look to your guiding and your leading. So just pray, Lord, that you bless those who give, and Lord, continue to have your hand upon the Moscow Church. Lord, again, we just give you all praise and glory, all our music and our worship, our prayers, all these things, Lord, are to bless you and your Son, Jesus. We don't do these things to glorify ourselves, but Lord, we do all these things to glorify you. Lord, again, we just thank you for your precious Son. Lord, we praise his name here this morning. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, myself and Brent now are going to share with you another song that we've worked on. I heard Doyle Lawson do this song, and I thought, wow, it'd be nice to try to learn this one. And so we've been working on it. and hope that you are blessed by it. If you don't know if you heard her or not, if it was Adela or Virginia said, you're getting better at that. Okay, I'm going to preach from 1 Peter here. Our scripture is 1 Peter chapter 3 this morning. 1 Peter 3:15. Title of the sermon, Prepared to Share. Prepared to Share. One of the things that I really love about our picnic, even more than the good food, is that it's just a reminder that, you know, we're to be the church outside, aren't we? We can't just be a church behind closed doors. It's easy to be the church behind closed doors, isn't it? It's easy to do our Christian worship in the safety of our sanctuary. It's easy to pray behind closed doors. It's easy to live out our Christian faith when we're behind walls. But God doesn't call us to be Christians just when we're in a building, the church building, right? He calls us to be Christians out in the real world, to live out our faith each and every day. That means living it out here in the real world and witnessing our Christian faith out in the real world. You know, God is looking for real world Christians, isn't he? I think sometimes we just get too comfortable with our faith behind closed doors. And then we fail to live out that faith out in the real world. But the Lord wants us to impact the world with our faith, doesn't he? He wants us to reach other people with the message of Jesus. It's not just to stay behind doors and brick mortar. It's supposed to be out in the world. We're supposed to take the faith into the four corners of the earth. To go out and to preach the gospel to all people. And so that means we have to be real world Christians. And I think, for me at least, that's kind of what I'm always reminded of when we're here worshiping as the church. And the church is not the building. The church is not the steeple. The church is not the building that's there at 866 Nash Road. This is the church. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. The building can never be the body of Christ. There's no life in brick and mortar. God's Spirit doesn't dwell among sticks and bricks. It dwells among us in flesh, doesn't it? Through His Spirit. He lives in and among us. We are the church of God. And so that is always just a stark reminder to me when we're here worshiping. I see the body of Christ out in the world. And that's exactly what we should be, out in the world. And so I want to look at our scripture here this morning, because this is kind of the idea that we're always to be ready to share the gospel, ready to give everyone an answer when it comes to our faith, and to share with others about the hope that is within us. Okay, let's look here, 1 Peter 3:15. And Peter writes, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense or an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear." Always ready to give an answer. Lord wants us, as I've said already, to be real world Christians, believers that are out in the real world with the message of Jesus. The church, we have to confess that I think at times we've forgotten how to be the church in the world today. Really, the blame of the way the world is today, I know we all complain about it, and we look and see the sorts of things that are happening in our communities, in our society, in our nation, and we start to grovel just like the rest. The only thing as a Christian, sometimes we should look inwards and say, well, maybe we're not doing a good enough job at being salt and light in our community or in our world. That's what God has called us to be. Maybe the fault lies within the church. We have to confess, I think, that we have forgotten how to impact the world with the good news of Jesus. Now, in world history, it seems like that the church was quite good, at least at different periods and times, at taking the gospel to the unsaved, taking the gospel to the world. In fact, you could say much of history was written due to the efforts to furtherance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even America was founded on that. You can look back and read the Mayflower Compact. It says right in there that they were searching out new lands for the furtherance of the gospels. Think of all that was accomplished and all that was done because the church was excited about taking the gospel to those who need it, to those who hadn't heard it. And listen, friends, you think you don't have to go to Africa to find pygmies, to find people that haven't heard the gospel. They are right here around us. Sometimes we assume people know what the gospel is. But you'd be amazed once you start talking to people that they really don't know the gospel. They don't understand the atonement for sin through Christ's death and resurrection. That's something foreign to them. A lot of times, you know what they're... idea of the church is do-gooders. You're just a group of do-gooders. And you're doing good. Good things. Trying to do good things. But that's not the church. The church is about salvation through Christ Jesus. You know, the brethren, as you look back to our history, they kind of example this spirit of going out and seeking to reach the unsaved. In fact, the origins of the brethren come from Schwarzenau, Germany in 1708. But by 1719, think of that, just 11 years later, the brethren were immigrating to North America, and by 1740, most brethren had completely left Europe altogether, including Alexander Mack, maybe that's a familiar name to some of you, who started, or well, was a part of the first members of the Brethren Church. And their idea was the furtherance of the gospel. They were seeking new land, they were seeking new ways, and moving forward with preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they picked up their entire church, really, all the believers, and moved to a new world. Most of that was established in Germantown, Pennsylvania, where they kind of, their home quarters were at first. It says the first Brethren churches established themselves in Germantown around 1723 there. And soon afterward was the formation of many other Germantown congregations, because they sent out missionaries, is what our history tells us. They sent out missionaries to rural areas, to Philadelphia, missionaries to preach, to baptize, and to start new congregations. By the late 1700s and the early 1800s, congregations of the Brethren had been established in New Jersey, in Maryland, in Virginia, in Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois, Missouri. By the middle of the 1800s, Brethren had settled even west to Kansas and Iowa, and even eventually the West Coast. They didn't stay right there in Germantown, Pennsylvania, did they? They spread out. They sent forth missionaries and preachers to proclaim the good news, the gospel. Reminds you of the little call to worship we had this morning. How shall they hear about Him unless someone tells them? And how will any one go and tell them without being sent? Well, the brethren sent missionaries. They sent preachers to go forth and to proclaim the good news. You know, Moscow itself was a part of that initial movement there here in Virginia. And by 1854, the first building of Moscow there was erected, the old church. 1854, think of that. And then 1964, the new building was built, 110 years later. It's pretty remarkable, wasn't it? All that the brethren accomplished in a very short amount of time. Seems like the takeaway for me from all this history is that the original brethren were real world Christians. They were out living the gospel, taking the gospel to those who had not heard it and were in need. They didn't live a content life behind the church doors with no desire to take the gospel out. They sent missionaries and they preached the word of Jesus to the masses. They were visionaries. They were evangelists for the Christian church. I guess the question that comes to my mind is, when did the church today, not just the brethren, but I think just overall the church in itself, especially in America, when did we lose heart in telling the lost about Jesus? I think that's a good question, isn't it? When did we become so content that as long as we're behind closed doors and we're happy, that's good enough? When did we stop seeking to establish new ministries for new believers? Very little church planting happens today. Very little. Especially within America. When did the church lose its heart for evangelism? You know, a few weeks ago I got a phone call about the New Covenant Brethren Church that is starting to form. And they're putting together even a new district, because there's at least four or five churches in the Shenandoah District area that have joined the Covenant Brethren, and they have enough churches to to kind of establish a region. And officially what the Shenandoah District is known as right now is Region 4. It doesn't say a whole lot, but eventually that will change into a district. Now, we haven't officially joined the Covenant Brethren yet. I know that will be conversations amongst the church as we go forward. But they were kind of questioning me as to what they thought a district should do. What should be the most important things that a district does? And of course, I got to thinking about that a little bit. You know, what would I like to see in a district of churches or a group of churches that are working together to further the gospel? Well, my first thought was, well, we need to train ministers. We need a pool of ministers that churches can pull from. We need ministers that are trained, that are ordained, that are ready to go into the ministry. Then I thought, well, you know, disaster ministry is something also that I know that our church at Moscow has really enjoyed and appreciated, to be able to help and to go forth and serve in Jesus' name in that way. So I kind of put that. And I had a few other things that I mentioned as well. I wasn't able to go to the meeting, so I sent an email. I had a conflict, but I thought I'd send my ideas anyway. So I put down a few of those things. And then it hit me, after I'd written all these things, the thought was, it should be church planting. That should come first as what we are doing as a district. We should be thinking about spreading the gospel, establishing churches. I know that feels kind of counterculture to what's going on. We see churches that are closing. But I don't think that we should just roll over and die because churches are closing. God has new churches that are going to open. God has new mission fields and new ministries that He's going to start. Just because some churches are closing don't mean we just give up and roll over as a body of believers. We continue preaching and establishing churches in the name of Christ Jesus. And that's, I put it at the end, I should have put it at the beginning. I put the words, it should be church planting. Well, when I got the minutes for the meeting, and they were kind of reading back some of the things that were shared, I seen on the list that he put it on there exactly like I had it. It should be church planting. It was exactly like I put it. And I think that's right. We need to keep in mind, we are to go forth into the world to proclaim the good news and to teach the world about Jesus. Denominational evangelism starts at the congregational level. It starts right. Revival starts at the congregational level. And so does evangelism. We have to be willing to have a heart and a desire to reach out to the unlicensed, to the unsaved. So what are the leading reasons? Maybe you could call them excuses of why the church fails to be effective in sharing the good news of Jesus. I'm give you top 10 reasons, I think. Number 10, we tell ourselves that they already know. We say to ourselves, well, they already know the gospel. Why should I bother with talking to them about that? They already know. Now, that's what we tell ourselves. Again, just sometimes maybe as an excuse to not have to say anything about our faith. Number 9, maybe it's a lack of compassion. Maybe we just really don't care. Sometimes that heart can set within the brethren as well. We just don't care. Lack of compassion. Number 8, maybe we fear rejection. We talk about our faith to someone, maybe that they will reject us. Maybe we'll be rejected because of it, or they'll reject the faith. Number 7, maybe it's the fear that we'll get it wrong. You ever felt that way? Maybe I'll say something wrong and I'll do more harm than good. Number 6, maybe it's a fear of confrontation. Boy, that's a big one today, isn't it? Everybody's confrontational. And everybody has a bone to pick with someone. Maybe we're fearing, if I start to talk about my faith, I start to talk about Jesus, maybe that's just going to cause a confrontation. Number 5, maybe it's embarrassment. Maybe we don't want to be the ones seen as being Christian. And we just want to blend in. Look like all the others. Don't want to be singled out. Are looked at as differently. This can be a tough one for especially our youth. There's just the fear of embarrassment. It's not only the youth though. Certainly can have a situation with the adults as well. Number four, maybe we say, I'm too vulnerable, or I'm too shy. I'm not the outgoing type. I'm not an extrovert. I'm an introvert. And introverts, don't you know the Bible says, don't have to worry about sharing the gospel. Isn't that what it says? No. Doesn't matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert. It makes no exclusion. You're supposed to share the gospel. But maybe that's what we tell ourselves. We're too vulnerable. We're too shy. Number three, maybe it's lack of opportunity. We tell ourselves, well, we just don't have opportunity. If I was in the mission field out in Haiti or somewhere like that, that there would be plenty of opportunities. But I'm here in America. There's no real opportunity for me to share the gospel. Number two, maybe we'll just say, it's not my job. Isn't that why the preacher's paid? Isn't that his job? In the Bible, speaking directly to him, not us. His job is to be out proclaiming the gospel, not my job. That's what we tell ourselves. And number one, maybe the number one reason that we fail to share our faith, number one is that we feel unequipped to share. Unequipped to share. That is, we don't have the confidence that we know the story or we know the good news well enough. We don't feel equipped. And that's what Peter is talking about here. He's saying, equip yourselves. I think if you equip yourselves, you can eliminate any one of these other items that I mentioned to you. If you are equipped, maybe you'll remove the fear that you'll get it wrong. If you're equipped, you'll remove the fear of rejection. If you're equipped, you'll know it's your job. If you're equipped, you'll see the opportunity. You see how equipping makes the saint ready to share and preach the good news? That's what Peter is saying. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense or to share with people the good news. Anyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you. So we are to be an equipped body of believers. Now, I want to give you just three quick ways in which we help in equipping us to share the good news. Number one, the first way that we can share the gospel, friends, is by living it. One of the best ways we can share the gospel is by living what the gospel preaches. I've heard people say it, and I've said it before, share the gospel at all times, and when needed, use words. The only problem I have, or the only thing I have problem with in that statement is that when needed, it's always needed. It's always needed. We don't eliminate telling people about Jesus. But we are to live the gospel. We're to proclaim the good news with our life, the way we live, the way we treat others. This hope, notice here that who asked you, verse 15 there again, for everyone who asked you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Apparently, Peter's saying that people are identifying something's different. They're asking that person, why? What is this hope? What is this thing that is in you that is different? And Peter says, well, be ready then at that moment to share your faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And friends, we can live our life in a way that people identify and they see and they ask questions. And that leads to the opportunity to share our faith, doesn't it? Leads to the opportunity to share our faith. But we're not able to do that if we live a life that is contrary to what we believe. We say we're preaching the message of salvation from sin, the victory over sin, and then we're living a life that is in sin, embellishing the things of sin. It's going to be difficult to share that message, isn't it? No one's going to believe that. We have to live out the gospel that we preach. You know, one of the things I hear most often from non-believers is the reason they won't come to church, the reason they don't believe or they don't want to believe, is that they say the church is hypocritical. You ever heard that? You bunch of hypocrites. That you say one thing and you do another. I don't think that is not going to be an excuse for them when they get to heaven. And they have to face judgment. Rather, when they get to hell. Person has to face judgment. You can't say the excuse, well, they were hypocrites. That's not going to work, is it? But friends, we have to be careful that we're not giving people reasons to reject Jesus. We don't want to steer anyone away from the faith. We want to help people to be guided to the faith. And we have to make sure that we're not giving people more excuses just to reject Christ. The second way, first is that we're living it. Second is that we can share the gospel by simply sharing our story. That's equipping us. You already are equipped in a lot of ways because you have your own personal story. You have your own transformational story. You have your own story about how God is working in your life. And no one can argue with that, can they? You tell me your experience about Jesus and how He's transformed your life, and I step in and say, well, I don't believe you. I don't trust what you're saying. There's no argument with that. It's just a very innocent, pure way to share the good news and not worry about someone beating you over the head with some theological issue. You just share your experience, what God has done in your life, about how you once were lost, but now are saved. How you lived a life of sin and for the pleasures of sin. But once you found Christ, that the desires of your heart changed, and that Jesus filled your life with hope and with peace and with joy. Amen?
Amen.
These are the things that God gives us. And we can share that. We don't have to go to seminary to learn what Jesus is doing within us. We don't have to have a degree in ministry to be able to share what Jesus has done for me. You are already equipped more than most. You just simply share what God has done in your life. Number three, this is the last one. Third way we can share is by simply telling them God's plan of salvation. Hopefully we all know that. If not, you need to go back and do some studying. But we want to be equipped to be able to share with someone the basics of what it means to be saved. I can remember talking to a young man, and I was telling him about my faith, and he looked at me and said, "What must I do to be saved? What do I have to do to receive Jesus?" Hey, that caught me off guard. I was a young Christian. I wasn't sure I was saying the right thing at that moment. But after that encounter, I made sure I went back and learned for myself what are the basics of the gospel so that I can lead someone to Jesus. I hope that each person here takes it upon themselves the responsibility to be able to lead someone to Jesus and to pray with them the sinner's prayer that they might be saved. I was reading of this little thing called the Wordless Book of Salvation. Maybe this will help you remember how salvation works when you are sharing with someone. It's a wordless book, and it's just a book that has really 5 pages, and they're different colors. And the first page of the book is gold. And that is to show that God's intent, God's desire for us is that we might be in heaven with Him. You can think of the streets of gold, you know, the throne of gold, the place where God is and where God desires for all people to be. Amen? He desires for all of us to go to heaven. Now, that's the first page, and that's the first thing that we share with people about how God desires. He wants them to be in heaven with Him. Number two, though, the second page is black. What do you think the black page stands for? Sin, right? This separation, this sin, that while God wants us in heaven with Him, that there's this sin that separates us from God. and that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God because of the sin in which we all have and have committed. Number three, the third page is red. What do you think that stands for? Blood of Jesus, right? The cross. That's the problem is sin. The solution is Jesus, isn't it? And His atonement, His blood, He shed there for us on the cross. And so we share with them about the love of Jesus, a love of a Savior who is willing to die and give His life to pay for the penalty of our sin. Page four is white. And the white page represents then the forgiveness of sin. The Lord makes us as white as snow, doesn't He? Our sins are washed away, and He makes us as white as snow. And this whiteness, this purity, really white, this purity that comes through receiving Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. And then the last page of this little book is green. And that's the growing, isn't it? Lord will lead us beside what? Greener pastures, right? And that's where He grows us. He sits with us. He walks with us. He fellowships with us. So you got a book of gold, of black, of red, of white, and green. Maybe you can make yourself that little book. I thought I might make one, but I didn't have enough colored paper to do it. But you could make that little book. You could maybe even carry that little book. It's the wordless book of salvation. God's plan of salvation. It's all right there in the colors. Maybe that will help you. When you reach that person like me that first time that said, what must I do to be saved? And be able to just clearly share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do. We are real world Christians, aren't we? We are real world Christians. Why don't you say that with me? Ready?
Real world Christians.
We have to be living out the faith each and every day. And we certainly have to be taking forth the good news of Jesus to the fallen world that is around us. Listen, I hope that each and every one of you have received Jesus as your Savior. You can't take the good news out until you first received it. And I pray for each of you that you have received that good news and Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You again for this reminder that we have, that, Lord, we are to be the church that is going. We are to be the church that is visionaries of taking the gospel to those that are in need, those that are lost. Lord, that might happen while we're on the job. Lord, that might happen in our families. Lord, it might happen while we're at the shop. At the grocery store, or Lord, at the gas station while we're out shopping or just running our daily errands, even at the post office, Lord. There's just opportunities. We just have to look for them. And Lord, we just pray that You might use each one of us to proclaim Your good news. Lord, help us to share our story, and Lord, equip each one of us to being able to share clearly and with as many as we can the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to do that, I pray, as Your church. Give us that heart, I pray, of compassion to reach out and to share that message. Bless us, I pray. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to close now with our closing hymn. Following this service, they're going to get the things ready. Program and arrangements team will make sure that's kind of being put together. You'll just have to wait a few minutes, and then they'll let us know. I'll have a prayer blessing for the meal. And then you're able to stay as long as you want. I think we have this shelter for the entire day. Maybe pull your chair up to the fireplace, or if you're a kid, you'll probably end up in one of those puddles out there. I know that's where I'd end up. Now, kids, I didn't say you could do that. You better talk to your parents about that. But certainly enjoy your day here. The insert, you have the final hymn there, People Need the Lord. And I hope you're familiar with this one. This is page 303, People Need the Lord. I think we'll sing this through twice. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. Lord, we pray a blessing upon the meal as we enjoy that. Lord, again, we just thank you for this blessed day that you've given us. Lord, just pray a blessing upon those who have prepared, and just, Lord, continue to bless the Moscow Church. Lord, we just give you praise now. Be with us as we go, and Lord, until we meet again. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.